Holy Square sounded better all the time. I know what Brother Nixon's talking about looking in the mirror and seeing somebody. You wonder, how did I get here? Somebody said something like that to me not too long ago. I said, just hang around. It'll happen to you. Well, you heard Brother Perkins mention Brother Pasola on the prayer list. I'm sure you'll hear Brother Parsons read it again in the church service. Many of you remember Brother Pasola was here on staff. He's very dedicated, hardworking, and just one of God's good servants. Amen. I'm not sure. Joe's probably in his 60s. I'm not sure about the exact age, but he was always young for his age and healthy for it. And just help anybody do anything. He called me the afternoon of his accident. He was driving the big rig down the road, and it was a big one. Sometimes even had an extra trailer tied behind it. He called me, we talked a good little bit on the phone, and he told me, he said, I like my job. He said, pretty good. He said, I still have a ministry at the church. And he said, the only negative thing is once in a while we have to pull one of these big gas trailers. That's what he was pulling then. I said, Joe, you talking about compressed gas? And he said, yeah. I said, man, that's dangerous. Be careful. He said, oh, I'm obeying all the safety rules. And knowing him, he did. And I guess I don't know the details, so I'm not going to go out on a limb and add to it. But I think he'd stopped at a truck stop, and the thing exploded somehow. And somebody said that he was a little distance from it and turned to run to it. And I can imagine him doing that. And it was too late. It blew up again on him. And terrible, 60-70% of his body. It'll take a miracle for him to live. It'll take a miracle. And then the pain is just unbelievable, you can imagine. I had a little fire accident one time myself on just an arm or two, and I can imagine a whole body being burned like that. So here, before I get into Sunday school message this morning, I believe I'm looking at a lot of people and a lot of people out in radio land. Many of you knew Brother Pasola when he was here, and maybe you didn't, but just one of God's choice servants, family. And I know we believe in prayer, so all I'm going to do right now before I get into Sunday school, I'm just going to ask you to join me in prayer. I'm going to lead in a little prayer, and I'm going to ask you to pray in your heart. And it would seem right to us for God to leave Brother Pasola here for his family's sake and for the service to the Lord himself. I know this, the devil hates God's people that serve God. We will have to get answers in heaven about why things happen the way they do down here sometime. We don't know all the answers. But we believe God is able, and I just want you to pray with me, and as the scripture says, we'll agree in our hearts together to ask God to bless and take care of Joe through this thing. Father, we thank you. We can come to you in prayer. Lord, I could stand here and talk a lot about serving you with Brother Pasola and the midnight hours we spent and other things we did on various projects, the youth camp and the hotel and so many things. But Father, we don't come to you in the goodness of Brother Pasola by his merits, but in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ask for what would be impossible with man. Father, the best of the doctors and the best of the treatments will not work unless you touch them, unless you bless. So I ask, Father, right now, believing I'm saying what you would honor and bless as you give us the promise of prayer. So as we unite our hearts together, I ask for the miracle of Brother Pasola being raised up and overcoming this and being able to serve you again. Bless his wife and the family. And Lord, we'll praise you. We ask it, Father, the best we can, we're believing. We know you can, Father. We're just asking that you will. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, let's open our Bibles. I want you to go first to the book of Deuteronomy this morning. We'll go to chapter 14. I'm on the same subject. I'm going to leave John on the table here for a little bit. We started chapter by chapter and verse by verse, but we got all the current news that's going on, the awful news that you're hearing, and hopefully you're getting a pretty good, accurate truth, whatever you're listening to. You better watch out for social media. You can't trust it. I hope you know that. And you're saying you just do that. You say that because you don't do it. You're right, and that's why I don't do it. I want to get a source of truth, and I just don't trust a whole lot that's going on and in everything today. But some bad stuff is happening. I don't need to tell you that. But when we look in the Bible, we see that it was prophesied. So this morning I'm going to speak a little bit, and I'm sure I'll not be able to read all the scripture I want to. But I'm going to deal with one of the oldest common prophecies all the way through the Bible that appears to be getting very close to being fulfilled. And a lot of prophecies in the Bible, that's what makes it the Word of God. It's what proves it to be the Word of God. No other book can tell you the future. The Bible can, it does. And so I say that. But the question comes, why is everybody upset about what's happening in Israel? Well, you need to, I guess the question would be, why do Christians support Israel when it looks like, according to the polls, maybe 50% or more of so-called Americans are on the other side? That's terrible to think about. That's the condition our country's in, to be that bad. But why? Well, Christians line up with the Bible, that's why. The Bible, that's the final truth, amen? So I want you to look in Deuteronomy. What we're doing when we line up with Israel today, we're siding with God that says he has a plan for them. All the way through the Bible, he's told us what that plan was. And now we're getting near to the end of it, and it's coming true just as the Bible laid it out. The nations you see gathering against Israel right now are named in the Bible, told what they would do. They're doing just exactly that. They're following the script of the Word of God, whether they know it or not. They don't know it. They don't care, or they are absolutely openly against God, is what it really boils down to. So God made a choice, had a plan to use a nation to bring his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, into the world. He used a nation. I've already covered some stuff. I'll repeat some stuff. But in Genesis 12, he called out Abraham. He started the plan with him. And he also, in that very call to Abraham, warned anybody that will read the Word of God that if we bless the Jews, Israel, seed of Abraham, that we'll be blessed. If we curse them, we're going to be cursed. And that is the danger our country is in right now, falling down on the wrong side. Now, I want you to see God's choice happen early. And again, I'll try to read some scripture on this, but go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Just going to read a couple of verses. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. Ye are the children of the Lord your God. He's talking to the Israel now. Ye are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. Now, that may hit some of you, but that's not my point. My point is verse 2. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord, and you notice in your King James Bible, the capital letters, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself, what's the next word? Above all the nations that are upon the earth. That's God's choice, whether you like it or not. You heard what he said. He's made a choice. They're to be a peculiar people above all the nations. I may not get to it, but another verse I'd read, he says that he calls them a peculiar treasure. Now, when you get in the New Testament as Christians, born-again believers, Peter said we're supposed to be peculiar people. Now, I've been pastor long enough to know that's come true. All right, some of you didn't get that. But there's a pile of peculiar people that you pastor, amen? And not necessarily in the good biblical sense, amen? All right, shouldn't have said that. I want to speak a little bit what's kicked off right here, what has started right here. When I say it's an old prophecy, it's an old prediction, it's an old plan that God is bringing to fruition. Now, Israel here is found through the Bible what would happen to him. A broad skeleton outline would be this. God calls them. He blesses them. He defeats their enemies. They get on top. Then they kind of forget God. Next thing you know, they're worshiping an idol with some foreign influence they've come under, and they're back into idol worship, and God brings them down. Then he punishes them. They repent and get right, maybe under a good king like Josiah or some that comes to this throne, and they come back up. If you were to put a graft on Israel, you could start, it would go like this. It'd be one mountain peak, one valley, another mountain peak, another valley. All the way through the Old Testament, you'd find that. You know, that's pretty much true with us if we're not careful. You know what is key in the Christian life? Faithfulness, consistency. Yes, he's your God in the valley too, but he'd rather you would stay out of the valley. He'd rather you'd stay up and obey and follow him. Sometimes our testimony gets blown as a Christian because we're sunshine Christians, so to speak. When the days are good, we're great. And when they're bad, it looks like we forget God. He's the God in the valley too. But anyway, you find that prophecy all the way through the Word of God. Now, the big prophecy of Israel is that in the end days, they'll come back up. Paul said in Romans 11 that blindness in part has happened because they rejected, did not recognize, rejected the Messiah, crucified their own Messiah. John 1 says he came unto his own received him not. The good part for you and I is Gentiles that got grafted into the good olive tree. We are the ones that reap from the fact that we have a Messiah that came through Israel. We know who he was, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that died for our sins on the cross. Blindness in part with Israel because they're still looking for the Messiah and rejected the one God sent. Now, not all of them. By the way, more Jews are being saved now in our age than probably has for several hundred years. But God's big plan was to bring them back into victory at the end. And the devil's big plan is to prevent that from happening. And that's what we're seeing, and we are seeing in the news, the current news, the awful, the terrorist thing. It is unbelievable that man can be so inhumane to man. You've seen in the news where when the terrorists came through the wall on Gaza and killed all the people and the awful things they'd done, do you understand they not only chopped off babies' heads and made pictures of it, and chopped their heads off in front of their parents and made pictures of it, but they even put them in ovens. Now, folks, that's satanic. That's beyond just being a sinner. That's awful stuff, unbelievable stuff. And yet it happened, and the proof of it's on film. And they were not ashamed of it. They wanted people to see it, so they filmed it. Killing children in front of parents and parents in front of children and all the awful atrocities. All of that. Because that tells you and I we're seeing a deeper warfare than just the human level. Warfare between God and the devil has been going on since Genesis 3 over the seed that would produce the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that. We've talked some about that. But what we're seeing today is a big plan beginning to flesh out, and we're seeing the resistance to that plan. We're seeing the struggle between good and evil. And notice how the news people are even calling it evil. Even that word has come back in so plainly. But first we see what God did. If you want to, again, time won't allow, go to Exodus. Go back to your left. Go back to Exodus. And let's go to chapter 19. Now, starting in chapter 19, there is a more than we could cover. But you get a little bit, not only what it plainly says, but some of what's between the lines here. Some of God's code, so to speak, that follows all the way through the Word of God. And we start in chapter 19. It says, "And Moses, verse 3, went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob," that's Israel, "and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I have you on eagle's wings. I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant," the word covenant, God made a covenant. He's going to make a final covenant with Israel later. We'll understand that. A contract, so to speak, agreement. "Then ye shall be a peculiar," here we come to the word peculiar again, "you'll be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people," again, above all people, above all nations. "For all the earth is whose? Mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of people," I'm sorry, "a kingdom of priests," I'll talk about that in a minute maybe, "and a holy nation." If you read the book of Revelation, the millennial reign, you and I as Christians are also going to act as priests, but Israel will be like a priest nation among others. And he says they're a peculiar treasure here above all people. Then he says there'll be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, verse 6. "These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before them their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said," boy, look, watch this, "all that the Lord hath spoken we will do." We're quick to say it, aren't we? Hard to live it. Yeah, they promised they'd do it. "And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I've come unto thee in a thick cloud that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them, set them apart for tomorrow, let them wash their clothes," verse 11, "and be ready against the third day." Now, I was trying to get down here to this verse. I want you to notice a little bit of code here. Watch it in verse 11. "Be ready against the third day," not the second day, the first day, "but the third day the Lord will come down." Watch it now. "On the third day he will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Then he tells them to set bounds lest they touch the mountain and die." Then drop down with me to verse 13. "And there shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through if it touch the mountain. Whether it be a beast or a man, it shall not live." Now, while this is going on, here's the next statement. "When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount." There's a little bit of code here, a little bit of prophecy. When the trumpet sounds loud, they're going to come up. Now, in the third day, did you pick up that? The third day, trumpet's going to sound loud. They're going to come up. I'm talking a little bit of code here. Now, I want you to go all the way over to the book of Hosea. See if you can find Hosea chapter 3 and chapter 6 of the book of Hosea. Hope I didn't find it the time you do. Because I didn't. All right. Chapter 3. Then we'll go to chapter 6. We're using the Bible at Sunday school. Don't be shocked you come to a church that uses the Bible. Amen. Chapter 3 of the book of Hosea. "Then said the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman." You know the story. This is Hosea that took a harlot for a wife because God told him to. He was good to her. Brother Parsons preached on this some just recently. And yet she cheated on him again. She committed whoredom again. And somebody come and told Hosea, you know where that wife that run away is? Well, she's gone to the bottom. She's down there on the auction block. They're auctioning her off again. Can you imagine if Hosea was the pastor in town? Don't you imagine that the messenger all the way tell Hosea where his wife was, probably told some other people too? I expect so. I expect there's quite a crowd gathered to see what Hosea was going to do with his wife on the sinful wife, harlot wife, unfaithful again, was on the auction block. I expect so. What did Hosea do? He obeyed God. He went down and bought her back. Oh, that's something, man. I mean, that's over and above duty, isn't it? Went back and bought her back. And this is what the story is. Why'd God do that? Why would he tell the preacher to marry such a woman, knowing what she was going to do, and put him through all that? Because he was saying, you see, Israel, the nation I chose, the nation I blessed, they've played the harlot on me. He was telling his preacher, the prophet, let's give them a picture of what they've done. They think that's awful what your wife done? That's what they're doing to me. That's what he was saying. So as we look here in chapter 3, we're in that setting now. And says verse 2, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer of barley and a half homer of barley gave the price. That's what it took to buy her. Verse 3, and I said unto her, thou shalt be, let me get it right. I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. Now, the word for at verse 4 ties it together. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king. See, God says, here's the picture I'm giving you. The children of Israel, the nation, will abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, without a teraphim. Now, those are the means of communication with God. Be like saying to the church or the Christians without a Bible, without a songbook, without a connection, is what he's saying here. And now he's telling what's going to happen to the nation of Israel. They're going to abide many days without being in touch with God. As you read through the Bible, by the time you get to the book of Malachi, God's not even speaking to them anymore. And then we start off in the book of Matthew in the New Testament. We start off with the birth of Christ. But you see, Israel has been laid aside. Paul says they're in blindness. They tried to hang on, but it says they'd be without a sacrifice. Or they kept trying to celebrate the Passover, but they didn't have a sacrifice. God wouldn't let them use a four-legged lamb no more because his lamb of God had died on the cross. So they've existed, though. Here's the miracle. Here's the miracle. Frederick the King was told the reason you know the Bible's true is the Jew. How he survived all the attack, all the people that have been against him all through history, and yet he's still here. He's the burning bush that won't burn up, that won't be consumed. So here you have a Hosea the prophet talking to this very subject now. He said they'll abide many days without a king, without a connection, without a sacrifice. But look at verse 5. Afterward, get it now, afterward shall the children of Israel return. That's where we're living now. 1948, they returned to the land. That was a miracle itself. It's kind of something interesting. There was 1948 years from the first Adam in the garden to Abraham. 1948 years. From Abraham to 1948, after World War II, Israel comes back in the land. That's just probably a coincidence. Isn't the Bible so full of them? Amen. Yeah, yeah. And so they came back in 1948 to the land again, but they came back in unbelief. They're still in unbelief right now on who the Messiah is. They came back in unbelief, and that was predicted in the Word of God. Don't have time to show you all that. But afterward, verse 5, shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God. Now, they're not seeking him through Christ yet. They are calling on him. They're in a spot now. But they're not calling on him through the only name, through the one that is the only way, is the only mediator. They are. They're getting closer to it, I'll tell you that. And by the way, who are the best friends the Jews have today? The Christians. God's people. So they'll return, seek the Lord their God, and David their king. Now, that opens up a lot of Bible. The day is coming that they are going to be ruled again on planet Earth by King David. Now, I can't open up that can of worms and deal all. You say he's dead, yes, but God's got a future plan. He's talked all the way through the Word. Now, while the Messiah came in the seed of David, we're going to find out that David's throne is going to be in Jerusalem, and he is going to rule as king. Christ will sit on David's throne and rule. Oh, man, it's deep, but it's God's plan, and God's seeing it, and it's fleshing out, and it's filled. And we're getting very close to the climax of the oldest prophecy in the Word of God. And this is what I'm talking about here. David their king, and shall fear the Lord and the goodness in the latter, when? The latter days. You know where you're living? The latter days. Now. And it's moving pretty fast. I'll tell you the truth. The more I look at it, seemingly the faster it moves. And I think, man, I figured that'd take a year to get around to that. No, it took 2 weeks. It's moving fast. Now I want you to stay in the same book of Hosea, and I am only hitting some high points because the clock outruns me. Go to the sixth chapter now of Hosea. We'll leave chapter 3, we'll go over to chapter 6, Hosea. Now look what it says, and imagine here we're talking about the restoration of Israel. They're returning. When will that be? When will it be restored? At the second advent, when Jesus Christ comes back, leading the armies of heaven, defeats the nations of the world at the Battle of Armageddon, and sets up a kingdom age in which Israel, the nation, is the head, not the tail. Scripture says that, but the head of the nations. Somebody says, why are you for Israel today? I want to be on the winning side. Amen. It may take a little while for the world to see the winning side, and they're going to try to keep it from being the winning side, but it's the winning side. Because when our champion, our Savior, our King shows back up, then we're going to find out he sits on the throne of David. He rules the world in righteousness with a rod of iron. Man, don't we need that? Wow. All right, come with me. Chapter 6, restoration of Israel at the second advent. Notice, let's personify it just a little bit. Come and let us return, the Jews. Let us return unto the Lord. He hath torn, oh yeah, he did judge you. He hath torn, and he will heal up. Heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. Don't that show you both sides of it? Smitten, yeah, when you turned from God, you went under his judgment. You lost his blessings. But now, he did smite you, but now he's going to heal you up. Look at verse 2. We're going to count the time here a little bit now. Look at verse 2. And after 2 days, how many days? 2. After 2 days will he receive us. Now, let's remember, there are millennial days often in the Scripture, in prophecy. 2 Peter chapter 3, it is, says 1,000 years is as 1 day, and 1 day as 1,000 years. Psalms 90, 1 day is 1,000 years. We find out that while God created the world in 7 literal days, that the ancients believed that every day of creation would be multiplied by 1,000, so in 7,000 years time would be up. And that 7,000 year would be this millennial reign when the Jews come back and rule with Christ, when we that are raptured come back with him in the armies of the Lord and rule on planet Earth. Oh, yeah. What a shock world that will be. That's who's going to be in the driver's seat in that day. After 2 days, he will receive us. On the third day, where did we find that before? What were we reading over there? What were we reading over there in chapter 19 of, was it Exodus? Yeah, the third day. When the children of Israel came up to the Mount of Sinai, and it was on fire, and God was given the Ten Commandments. On the third day, the trumpet sounded. Listen, The third day, the third millennial day, will be the 3,000 years. Listen, you and I are living now, we're counting 2024 almost. That's from the measured, basically from the birth of Christ. I think it ought to be measured personally from the resurrection. It makes a lot more sense to me. If it's measured from the resurrection, the second day is going to end in less than 10, 11 years from now. If it hadn't already, and our calendar's messed up, we don't know. I'm just saying to you, we are very close to the third day breaking. It's the third day that's the millennial reign for Israel when Jesus comes back. So when's he coming back? After 2 days. The 2 days are about up. By our calendar, it is up, depending on where you start from. But after 2 days, he'll receive us in the third day. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. That's the millennial reign. That's the coming kingdom of God. That's the so-called Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's the kingdom it's talking about, coming. In the third day, third millennial day. Now notice in verse 3, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Now, that's mentioned before, and we are in the time at the end. This latter rain will be at the end of the tribulation. At the end of the tribulation, we read to you from the book of Zechariah, how that all nations would be gathered against Jerusalem. Didn't we read that in the lesson? When all the nations are gathered against Jerusalem, they're going to be destroying Jerusalem. They're going to be winning. Then all of a sudden, the trumpet sounds and the Lord returns, leading the armies of heaven. You know what? If you're saved, you'd be in that army. I'm born again. I'm expecting the rapture to come before the tribulation period. I'm expected to be caught up with the Lord. I'll be at the judgment seat of Christ. I'll be prepared to come back with him in that army to help defeat the nations of the world and let him see his final prophecy plan of putting Israel as the head nation of the kingdom. Oh, they've had to repent. They've had to recognize him. They've had to say to him, where'd you get these wounds in your hands and your feet? And he'll say, I was wounded in the house of my friends. You know what? They're going to call on him and recognize him. Remember how Joseph in the Bible was such a picture of Jesus? Remember how his brethren had to come back and recognize him? Well, the brethren, the Jewish nation, is going to recognize Jesus. Just Joseph was a great type of Jesus. He was hid on Pharaoh's throne, sitting at the right hand of Pharaoh. Where's Jesus today? He's hid. I don't see him. I talk to him and I feel him and I read his word, but I don't see him. You say, I saw him. I don't believe it. He's sitting on the right hand of God on the throne. He's ruling at the right hand of the top ruler like Joseph was. The picture's all there. The picture's all there. And the brethren that came and recognized Joseph, the brethren, the Jewish nation, is going to recognize Jesus when they say, where'd you get the wounds in your hands and your feet? And you say, he's going to say, I was wounded in the house of my friends. Oh, yeah, he came unto his own received him not. Oh, yeah, I'm going up, then I'm coming back. I'm going to have a great time while I'm up there for a short time. I'm coming back, then I'm going to have it good forevermore. Amen? But, oh, yeah, you say, what does it say about the Lord? Listen, there's a lot of bloodshed going on now, but there's going to be some bloodshed that you can't imagine according to the Bible. When the Lord and his army from heaven lands at Mount Olivet, the earthquake comes, it splits in two. He lands on the head of thousands, millions of United Nations armies gathered to put down Jerusalem and forever have the solution to the Jewish question. Better remember something. Jesus was born to a Jewish maiden. God formed a body through the Jewish nation. The promised seed came through the woman, came through the Virgin Mary overshadowed by God, blood of the woman, not of the man. And Jesus is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to rule and reign from David's throne in Jerusalem. Oh, just before David is, before the Lord comes back, there's going to be a faker show up. We call him the Antichrist. He's going to show up and he's going to let them build the temple. He's going to fake the Jews out, make them think he's going to be on their side. But then he's going to turn on them. And he's going to sit in the temple showing that he himself is God. The Jews are going to have to flee under his wrath, and many of them will be killed. But right about the time he gathers his herd of nations against Jerusalem is when the trumpet's going to sound and the Lord is going to come down. Oh, boy, we're going to know who the winner is then. The psalmist asks, who is the Lord of glory? The world's going to know who he was then. Today, as all the news, bad news, and I could park on it, and I'm not, that we're hearing, how in the world can these idiotic college students gather in the street? I tell you, because they're doing what they were programmed to do. They were doing what the professors taught them. And what has happened now, this thing has brought them, there's been an underground river of anti-Godism, underground river of rebellion, underground river against anything God's word said. It's breaking to the top. And now we're seeing 50% of the White House staff signing a paper on the Palestinian side. By the way, the Palestinians never owned Jerusalem, never, not one time. Rome is the one that invented the name Palestine. All right, can't open that can. Truth is, all they're doing when they're getting out there marching on the street and doing the violence and all they're doing right now, that's what they've been taught to do. That's what they got a grade on their papers for doing. That's the philosophy. Parents, when you send your kids to a place like that, you're being a useful idiot of the devil. Say, I don't like that. I don't care whether you like it or not. I'm on side with the Bible on it. Anytime anybody's anti-Bible, anti-God, I'm anti them. Just that. That's it. The truth is, we're at a time of choice, and we're seeing the nations now lining up. We're seeing this spirit of Satan, of Antichrist, coming to the front. All right. Time's up. Truth is, I like where I'm living right now. I'm listening. It could help many minutes. Because all that I just talked about that's going on in the tribulation period with the Antichrist, and all, hey, that's after the church, after the believers have gone. Uh-oh, that one disappeared. No, I didn't fool you. You won't be fooled in that day. We'll know. All right. By the way, I was joking a little bit about disappearing. Anybody see the rapture on the in the news where David Jeremiah out in California? Thank God for him doing that. I've talked to him a time or 2 years ago. He's Presbyterian. We ought to know Jesus is coming soon when the Presbyterians start talking about it. Amen.